Ever try building something, out of blocks and it just like won't hold its shape? It's like you're using the wrong building blocks. And that's kind of what this Joseph Truss guy thinks we've been doing with the universe. Yeah, you sent us his video, right? We live in a tetraverse.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one.
And it's got some like wild implications about, well, everything, really, the fabric of reality, all starting with, believe it or not, a simple shape, the tetrahedron.
It's true. Most of us, we picture the universe like this giant grid, like a big Minecraft world, all cubes and right angles.
Right.
But Truss, he challenges that kind of head on. He is suggesting that the, well, maybe not so humble tetrahedron, a four-sided pyramid, is a far more elegant and, importantly, a more stable foundation for, well, for everything.
So less Minecraft, more pyramids of Giza then.
Exactly. Truss, he highlights this inherent instability of a cube, right?
Okay,
It's
yeah.
prone to collapsing, warping under pressure.
Yeah, I guess so.
But the tetrahedron, on the other hand, with
Yes.
those triangular faces, it's all about strength, efficiency.
And like inherently stronger.
And this isn't just an aesthetic preference here.
Right.
Truss, he takes this idea down to the quantum level,
Wow.
to the very smallest possible unit of space, sometimes called the Planck length.
Okay, so we're talking about the building blocks of the building blocks here.
Precisely. Now, imagine, right, shrinking a cube down to this incredibly small size, like unimaginably small. Truss argues that at that scale, the cube, it would naturally just collapse
Really?
into a more stable form.
And that
As
is.
you guessed it, a tetrahedron. It's like nature itself, right, favors this shape at the most fundamental level.
So it's not just that we can build a universe out of tetrahedrons, it's that the universe might already be doing that. Is that what you're saying?
That's the gist of it, yeah. And it gets even more interesting, really, when you start to think about how these tetrahedrons could then combine and interact. Remember, we're sticking with that smallest possible unit rule, that Planck length. This is where this concept of emergence comes into play.
Emergence. What's that? Like shapes, they just like spontaneously appear.
In a way, yeah, Truss demonstrates this. When you start connecting these tetrahedrons, right, according to his unit one principle, fascinating new shapes, they begin to emerge naturally within the structure.
Give me an example.
For example, you get octahedrons.
Octa.
Octahedrons, two pyramids joined at their bases,
Okay.
defining the spaces between the tetrahedrons.
So it's not just about the building blocks themselves, but also like the voids, the spaces they create.
Absolutely. And those voids, they aren't empty. No, they have their own geometry, their own role to play in this larger structure.
This is where it gets really mind-bending for me, I gotta say. In Truss's model, we see something unexpected popping up hexagons. And not just randomly, but as like a natural consequence of this whole tetrahedral structure.
It's remarkable, isn't it? In 2D hexagons, they're everywhere. You think about honeycombs, snowflakes, you name it. But in three dimensions, not as common.
I guess not.
Yet in Truss's model, they emerge organically. You find them embedded in the faces of larger tetrahedrons, almost like a hidden code within the structure itself.
A hidden code. Now that's intriguing. It's like we're uncovering some like deeper, I don't know, geometric language of the universe or something. And this leads us to, I think, one of Truss's most fascinating propositions. This idea of a cube octahedron playing a crucial role in how the universe expands.
The cubioctahedron, it's a mouthful, but it is a beautiful shape. Picture this. You combine cubes and octahedrons, again, all while sticking to this unit one principle. And this complex balanced structure emerges.
And this is the cube thingy.
Yeah, the cubioctahedron.
Yeah, it's
Truss
balanced.
suggests that this specific arrangement, right, of triangles and squares is key to understanding how the universe can expand in all directions spherically without, distorting itself.
So, hold on. Are we saying the universe is like a giant expanding balloon made of these cubioctahedrons?
That's a simplification, of course, but it gets at the core idea.
It's like this shape, this cuboctahedron, it's like the thing, that allows the universe to like do its thing.
Right, to maintain its structure while it, expands and grows and all that. It's an intriguing thought, and Truss, he doesn't stop there.
Oh no.
No. He takes it a step further. He argues that this cubioctahedron, it's not just some like abstract, geometric concept, but it's like a fundamental principle, woven into the very fabric of the cosmos, of everything.
I'm hooked. Tell me more.
Okay, so truss, he connects this whole geometric model, right, to real-world observations.
Okay, like what?
Like, for example, the cosmic microwave background radiation.
And that is?
Which is, you know, considered the afterglow of the Big Bang.
Oh, right, right, of course, yeah.
He suggests that the patterns that we actually observe in this radiation, you know, they could be like echoes of this underlying, you know, tetrahedral structure.
So we could actually be seeing evidence of this tetraverse in the oldest light in the universe. That's kind of amazing.
That's one of his, I'd say, bolder claims.
Okay.
But it is a fascinating avenue for, you know, further exploration, for sure. It highlights how this model, it's not just about, you know, pretty shapes and geometry.
Right.
It has the potential, you know, to make testable predictions about the universe.
Yeah. And it's that potential, right, for like actual testable predictions that elevates it.
Exactly.
Beyond just like speculation.
It moves us from the realm of what if
to
how could we find out?
I like that.
And the intrigue doesn't stop there.
Really?
Truss, he proposes that, okay, so while the QB octahedron that might govern, you know, this outward expansion of the universe.
Okay.
There's another shape, the icosahedron.
Icosahedron. Okay.
That could be key to understanding the inward growth of life.
Now we're moving from the like vastness of space to the like, you know, intricacies of life itself. How does he even like, I don't even know where to start with that. How does he connect those two?
It is a brilliant leap, I think.
Okay.
He points out that while the universe expands, right, outwardly, seemingly without constraint, life, you know, as we know it, thrives within boundaries.
Right? Okay, yeah.
Think of, you know, the proportions of the human body, the spiral patterns in a sunflower, the branching of a tree.
Yeah, yeah. It's all, like, very specific.
Exactly. Life follows certain, like, mathematical patterns, proportions. Okay. And Truss suggests that the icosahedron, with its 20 triangular faces,
okay,
might hold the key to understanding these constraints.
Constraints. So you're saying limitations are the key to something as like beautiful and complex as life. I don't know about that.
Well, think of it this way, right? Without constraints, without boundaries, there's no like form, there's no differentiation. It's the constraints that actually give rise to this incredible diversity and complexity we see in the natural world.
So it's like saying like the rules are just as important as the like the players in the game of life.
Precisely. And these rules, according to Truss, they're echoed in like these mathematical principles, right? Like the Fibonacci sequence.
Oh, right.
The golden ratio. And we see this reflected, right, in the growth patterns of plants, the proportions of shells, you know, even the arrangement of seeds in a sunflower.
Yeah, it's true. There are patterns everywhere when you start looking for them.
Exactly. And these patterns, they suggest this underlying order, like a kind of like mathematical blueprint almost.
Yeah.
Guiding the development of life.
It's like, whoa, you know, the same like mathematical principles, right, that might be governing the expansion of the universe are also like reflected in like a seashell. It's kind of like it gives you the sense of like interconnectedness, doesn't it?
It really does. Mm-hmm. And you know, it highlights something really crucial about Truss's work, this idea of emergent complexity.
Okay.
He's not saying that someone designed the universe, you know, with a protractor and a ruler.
Right, right.
But he's suggesting that from a few, like, really simple rules.
Okay.
Like the geometry of the tetrahedron, this unit one principle.
Right.
Incredible complexity. Like, it rises naturally.
So it's not about, like, a grand design or anything. It's more about, like, the elegance, like, inherent in the system. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's, you know, those mesmerizing patterns that you see, like, in a kaleidoscope?
Yeah.
They're not, like, meticulously arranged by somebody, you know?
Right.
They emerge from the interplay of the light and the mirrors.
Right.
And similarly, Truss's, you know, tetraverse model, it suggests that the universe's complexity might come from these, like, the interactions, right, of these fundamental geometric building blocks.
Mm-hmm. It's a humbling thought, really. It reminds me of how Truss, he calls himself a natural geometer.
Yeah.
It's like he's tapping into this, like, innate understanding, right, of how, you know, shapes and space, how it all fits together. Like, do you think there's something to that about, like, how our brains are wired, you know?
Yeah.
For this kind of thinking?
It's an interesting question. I mean, after all, our brains, they evolved to, like, navigate a 3D world, right?
True, true.
To recognize patterns, make sense of our surroundings.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that we might have like this natural like affinity for geometry.
You know? It makes you wonder, like, if our understanding of the universe is like limited by, you know, our own abilities to like visualize these like concepts, these really complex things.
Well, I mean, Truss uses these, you know, physical models to try to kind of help us visualize these ideas.
Sure. Yeah.
But he really emphasizes that the real power of this whole model lies in its mathematical underpinnings.
Oh, okay.
Like it's the underlying equations, right? Yeah. The relationships between these shapes. That's what really holds the key to like a deeper understanding, I think.
So it's not just about like what we see, right, the underlying principles like behind it all.
Exactly. It's like, you know, like the difference between, you know, looking at a beautiful painting and like understanding like the techniques, you know, the brush strokes and the way the light and shadow play together, like both are valuable, right?
Right, right.
But understanding that deeper level,
right,
offers a much deeper appreciation, I think.
I feel like we've covered so much, but I don't know, I still feel like we've just scratched the surface.
Oh, we have. We've just begun to unpack the implications of this model, really.
Right.
Like, if the universe is truly a tetraverse,
yeah,
what does that mean for our understanding of, well, everything? Gravity, electromagnetism,
right,
the very forces that, you know, make the universe the universe.
Right. It's like opening a door to a whole new way of, like, seeing the universe, and who knows what we'll find. But one thing's for sure, Joseph Truss has given us a lot to think about, maybe even a new lens to view reality through.
That's the power of a really, truly compelling idea, isn't it?
It is. It sparks our curiosity, challenges, like everything we thought we knew. And it invites us to like explore, you know.
I see things with new eyes.
And to our listener who sent in this deep dive request, We hope you're as captivated by all this as we are. It's a journey.
It is a journey.
And we're just starting out, so.